Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Ken Samples with a rational Christian approach to understanding space aliens.
And I can tell you, historically and from a psychological vantage point, virtually everybody who has had some kind of contact with UFO phenomenon has suffered mentally, sometimes even physically.
Ken Samples, next. The issue of UFO sightings and extraterrestrials continues to be a much discussed and controversial area. Today, Spencer Dahlke talks with Ken Samples of reasons to believe about this subject.
Well, I guess the first question I wanted to ask is, what caught your attention about this topic?
Years ago, when I was kind of growing up, I read about UFOs. Eric von Däniken had this famous book about UFOs, and I was kind of puzzled by it, and I would ask my dad about it. Then later, when I really took my Christianity seriously, I began to realize that there's really kind of a religion about UFOs. And so I was interested in that aspect as well as the military. And then later in my career, I went on to write a book about UFOs and extraterrestrials with astronomer Hugh Ross and Mark Clark, who is a security expert. So I thought we had an interesting group of people to approach the topic.
Tell us a little bit about the history of flying saucers. Seems like a good place to start.
I think in some respects you can talk about different waves of the UFO experience. But even before that, at the end of the 19th century, people were seeing or claiming to see things that would look like blimps or dirigibles. And then in World War II, there were even people who claimed to see what were called the Foo Fighters. Allies and Axis pilots seemed to see something that was tracking them. But I think that the first wave of this, if you will, 1940s, 1950s, you see what I would start to call the flying saucer phenomenon. And I think it was in 1947, a commercial pilot flying over Mount Rainier in Washington, Kenneth Arnold, he saw what he called nine flying saucers. And that was kind of the appearance of that term, that they look like saucers. And so that's kind of the first wave. And of course, the military was interested in this because, after all, it's the Cold War. They wondered, you know, could this be a Soviet threat? And of course, you had investigations of it, groups like Project Sign, Project Grudge, later Blue Book, and they all kind of concluded that there was no objective reality to the flying saucers. But the second wave, maybe 50s to 70s, you see what I would call the UFO religions emerge. And that's where you have the contactee. You have people who claim that space aliens were contacting them and had a lot of things to share because they believed that they were an advanced civilization, and they saw our use of nuclear weapons in World War II, and they were concerned about us. And that's really the origin of the UFO cults and UFO religions. In fact, some scholars have traced it to a seance. That is, UFO religions are deeply paranormal. They're deeply steeped in the occult. So that paranormal idea pops out. Then another wave would be what I would call the abductees. And that's kind of unique because by the 70s up to the 90s, this benevolent group of beings had turned malevolent. And they were involved in abducting people and experimenting on them. And I can tell you, historically and from a psychological vantage point, virtually everybody who has had some kind of contact with UFO phenomenon has suffered mentally, sometimes even physically. So by the third wave, you have a negative phenomenon. And maybe the fourth wave would now be, it's kind of gone from UFO, unidentified flying object, to UAP, unidentified aerial or anomalous phenomena. And that's kind of where we are today. A couple years ago, they had pilots that appeared on 60 Minutes, naval aviators, and they talked about encountering UFOs. So that's kind of a brief overview of about 50 years of UFO history.
Something you mentioned is that interest in these experiences kind of took off in the 20th century. I was curious why. Presumably, there have been experiences even before then. Is that true? Why only now?
Well, there are people like Eric Von Däniken, and I don't see Eric Von Däniken as a careful historian. He's more of a science fiction writer. But I think part of the emergence of this is that the 20th century sees the emergence of flight. And so people start traveling by aircraft. By World War II, you have more advanced aircraft. NASA comes into emergence. And so I think more people by the 50s are interested in this question of, could there be life in outer space? Now, what's interesting, Spencer, is in the 13th century, the great Catholic philosopher Thomas Aquinas asked whether God could have created people in other worlds. His conclusion was he thought it was unlikely, but it wasn't impossible. And so I think that particularly people in the 20th century, they were very excited about this idea that maybe we now had the technology to kind of reach beyond Earth and maybe encounter space aliens. And if you look at the popularity of Star Trek and Star Wars, this is a phenomenon that seems to pique people's interest.
Well, you mentioned that there have been religions popping up around UFOs and these sightings. You use the term a religion, which I take it that there are practices associated with it and doctrines. Can you tell us a little more about like what these religions have, how they've popped up and what they entail?
Let me talk a little bit about some of the groups. You have the Arantia Foundation. You have the Arantia book. Spencer, this is considered a revelatory book that was given to people about space aliens, and this is still a very popular group today. You had the Unarius Society, the Aetherius Society that goes back to the 50s, and then, of course, you had a very controversial group, the Heaven's Gate, in the late 1990s when the Hale-Bopp comet was coming around Earth. There were people in this group, and I would call it a cult both theologically and psychologically. It was led by a gentleman named Marshall Applewhite, and they committed suicide. They took heavy doses of barbiturates because they believed they would leave their bodies and join the UFO that was said to be behind the Hale-Bopp comet. And that was very controversial at the time. You have the Raelian movement. Now, with regard to their belief system, here's a quote from J. Gordon Melton, and he's talking about UFOs. He says, most 19th and early 20th century contact with extraterrestrials occurred in a spiritualist context, most likely than not in a seance. The prime mode of contact was the phenomenon quite familiar to psychic researchers, astral travel. Swedenborg and other mediums could go into trances and travel to various planets. So you see very clearly in the history of UFOs, Spencer, that it's deeply rooted in the occult. This is not theism. This is not monotheism. This is not your traditional religion. It is things like spiritism and various other areas. And so there is... I think it's fair to say it's almost blanket a paranormal type of phenomenon.
You used the term occult and theism. How do we understand like theism and paranormal occult beliefs? How are they different?
Theism is the belief in a singular personal God. Both Jews, Christians, and Muslims would all be theistic, believing that there is a God who has all the omni qualities, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, is a personal being. We talk about Christian theism or Jewish theism. And of course, that context is God is the creator. Of course, Christianity takes it further and says the one God is three distinct persons. The occult, as we think of maybe like Deuteronomy 18 in the Old Testament, it talks about occult practices. A lot of times there's more emphasis upon the practice. This is the seeking of spiritual realities. It would involve later things like seances, but it would often involve the idea that there is a spiritual reality. From a biblical point of view, from a Christian point of view, this would be dark forces. The occult is often connected with the demonic. But many people who embrace the occult and reject Christianity, they just believe that this is a phenomenon by paranormal above the normal. And so they believe that maybe this is an opportunity to gain information, maybe even power about spiritual ideas. So not everybody views the occult as being bad, but from a biblical point of view, it's seen as dabbling in something quite dangerous.
Thought it was maybe a bit of a twist ending. For explanations for why people have experienced extraterrestrials, but I guess before we get there, would you care to enlighten us what some of these explanations have been?
Yeah, well, there are three kind of general categories of how to interpret UFOs. One that has always remained prevalent is the idea that people are just misinterpreting this phenomenon. It's either phenomena in space that people are misinterpreting, so it's just a naturalistic misinterpretation. Maybe they're seeing stars, or maybe they're seeing some phenomenon in nature that they take to be more than it is. And then, of course, there's a human-made phenomena. I live near an Air Force base here in Southern California, and I remember one evening it was very foggy and rainy, and I saw a jet come out of a cloud. And it was like kind of breathtaking for a moment. So the idea that maybe we're looking at human phenomenon and we're misinterpreting it. And even today, people have said, well, maybe these so-called UFOs that the government talks about or people in the government talk about, maybe they're Chinese, maybe they're Russian. So that whole phenomenon, I think, is a very important aspect. It's probably not given as much skepticism as I think it deserves. But, you know, we've kind of concluded that maybe 90 to 95, maybe to 99% are purely natural misidentified phenomenon. Now, a second interpretation, and this is a huge investment. This is the view that, no, there are actually extraterrestrial beings that exist and live deep into space. This is called the extraterrestrial theory. And obviously, that would mean that there are civilizations who live in other galaxies, other parts of the universe. And the idea is that they, for some reason, are sending crafts and ships to the Earth. Again, we have SETI. So this is a scientific. It's a hypothesis that's taken seriously by science. They're searching, SETI, search for extraterrestrial intelligence. This has been going on for a number of decades. Then, of course, there's a third view. And the third view is that there seems to be a small percentage of UFO phenomena or UAP phenomena that kind of resists a natural interpretation. They act more like the paranormal. They violate the laws of physics. They appear and disappear. And they seem somehow connected with UFO occult religion. And that would be the interdimensional hypothesis, that maybe they're not from another galaxy. Maybe they're from another dimension of reality, which would put them in the realm of spirituality and connected to the paranormal. So those are kind of three broad categories. I think all three of them have strengths and weaknesses. I think all three of them have to be looked at very carefully. And of course, in our book, we do come down on that third one. We think that most UFOs have a natural explanation, but there's this very stubborn experience of UFOs that seem to violate the laws of physics. They don't seem to operate the way physical crafts would. And of course, psychologists people who have studied UFO religion have said that people who claim to have encounters with this phenomenon, again, they suffer a great deal. They suffer psychologically, and there are even reports of deaths. So it is it's a mysterious one. Of course, some people would say, look, Ken, if 90 to 95 to 99% have a natural explanation, maybe the whole phenomenon can be explained naturally. We've just misidentified. Well, that's true, but some of them are pretty stubborn in terms of the explanatory power. I mean, recently there have been people who were researching UFOs in a government context, and they said, you know, they could travel 13,000 miles an hour. They could descend from the sky into the sea. Some of them said that there were naval aviators that came close to them and they disappeared. Now, the government has not come out and confirmed any of this, and so there's still the question about whether the people reporting these things are really being straightforward and candid. But nonetheless, there remains, a UFO phenomenon that seems to act more like spiritual beings than they are like physical beings.
My guest today is Ken Samples, senior research scholar at Reasons to Believe, and the author of Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials, a book that we're revisiting and considering rationally what we can do with these experiences. Some people have tried to explain most of these phenomena away as hoaxes. Do you think there's evidence to support the idea that maybe some of these maybe could be computer generated? Do you think there's credence to that?
I think that a very serious area that needs to be explored is whether these are images that could possibly be from malfunctions in the cameras. There's obviously radar. Sometimes you can create, as you mentioned, computer images. I think that that needs to be looked at very carefully. But some of the people in the area of this phenomenon say that it's not easily explained that way, that there seems to be a there, if you will. It seems like there's something really there. But I do think, again, my colleague Mark Clark, he is, again, a specialist on national security in the military, and there is a lot of discussion about, you know, is it possible that maybe the Chinese or the Soviets could be creating images to kind of throw American military off the track, if you will. But he doesn't think that that explains all the data, but, you know, if you've got cameras, if you've got technology, I mean, I lived before the internet, and every time I do a Zoom call, I think, man, you know, the other day I was talking to people in China and Japan, and I was thinking, boy, this is so different than when I was a teenager. But of course, what's interesting with all this technology, there are still problems. And could it be that there are cameras or radars that, and you mentioned, you know, clever people who know how to use computers. Or, you know, simply the idea that you have things like drones, you have a lot of things that could be misinterpreted. I would say this, Spencer, I don't think that our conclusion, and again, the conclusion that there is a residual or a small percentage of UFOs that resist any kind of natural explanation and seem to be akin to the paranormal, I don't think that's a slam dunk. I don't want to give the idea that, you know, I've stopped thinking about these other views. And I think that people need to always keep open the idea that maybe there is a misidentification happening. So I would at least consider that. And I've known some scientists who've said, you really need to look at the radar, the cameras, what's going on there. But thus far, I don't think that their explanation explains all the data. I think they're still the idea that maybe people are seeing something and it may be more complicated than what they think.
Well, if we take what we're seeing as reliable evidence and setting aside the idea maybe it's CGI, and it really is, like some of these things, if the data or, you know, if these theories are correct, that it's spiritual entities perhaps that we're seeing, what do Christians do with that?
I think that's really a very important question, and I would say a couple things to it. I would say, first of all, that even if there are extraterrestrial beings visiting us from other galaxies, now, again, I don't believe that, and I think that's the most, you have to have the most investment in that view. I mean, that would take you places. I mean, I would ask questions like, why would a very advanced civilization act in such bizarre and crude manner? And of course, there are problems of space travel. People don't realize how difficult it is, how far away. I mean, the nearest star to Earth is like 25 trillion miles away. You'd have to have multi-generational travel, unless they're Star Trek or Star Wars. I would make a couple points. One, even if there is beings in outer space, that would not discount Christianity. If they really do exist, they could be created by God. Now, again, I tend to think that's not a viable scenario. But I would also say this, that I think that we need to look very closely at what Scripture says about, I mean, the Bible actually talks a lot about the dark side. The Bible talks about demons. I was reading the Gospels recently, and I was struck again by how often the demons are the ones who recognize Jesus, and he has to kind of tell them, shut up, I'm pushing you aside. They readily say, we know who you really are. So there is a spiritual reality, and I don't think that people ought to lightly dabble in these kinds of things. I mean, I've read that maybe 25% of evangelical Christians read their morning horoscope. Now, again, maybe there's really nothing, there's no negative in that, but I still think that religion is very important. And these kind of occult UFO religions are things that people ought to stay away from. You open yourself up to it, you may be opening yourself to something you never dreamed was possible.
If they are demons, then you don't, like you said, don't want to get too close to them. Yeah. But it does seem to me also to be encouraging evidence in favor of Christianity, because it would mean that there is a spiritual world that people have tried to deny that for some reason now we have physical evidence of. To that point, actually, if you're right to say that these are spirits and we can see them, what would that say about the spiritual world and their, to put it in philosophical terms, their ontology?
I think you raise an insightful point. You know, the worldview, the secular worldview is called naturalism. It's called naturalism because, in their view, only nature exists. Only the natural physical world exists. And to propose that there are beings that are not physical, that are not material. And again, there is some credible, this is not just unstable people seeing peculiar phenomena. Some of this comes from very well-trained pilots who know natural phenomena, who have been trained in what deceptions could be there, misinterpretations. So I do think that this proposes something that moves beyond naturalism. And in some way, I think you're right. This could point to a confirmation of the idea, of at least the idea that there's something more than the physical. And the Bible talks about something more than the physical. It talks about a realm of malevolent angels. And I think in light of that, you know, I would want to convey that the Christian view, Christian theism, provides an explanation and meaning and purpose. I think a lot of people dabble in UFOs, ufology, because I think they are looking for meaning and purpose. You know, it's kind of a religion, and you're looking from a religion from above, but instead of the incarnation where God becomes man in Christ, you're rescued by UFO crafts. So in some sense, I think that this is a philosophical, religious type of phenomena. But Spencer, I think human beings are, we're deeply religious beings. And some of my skeptical friends, they're looking for ultimate answers. They're looking at how can I have meaning even without God? So that seems to be part of the human instinct.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that I haven't asked about that could help shed light on the apologetics of it, on other interesting tidbits?
I think I would say that what is interesting about this phenomenon is it seems to kind of parallel movies. It seems to parallel where our culture is. Our culture is, in some ways, I think our culture has moved away from a purely scientific, naturalistic to where, you know, the idea of Eastern mysticism and occultism is seen as a possible idea. But I think all of this needs to be thought through very carefully, you know, and I think one thing that our book offers is you have an astronomer who looks at the science, you have a national security expert who looks at the government and technology. And my background was examining cultic groups and things like that. So you kind of have, I think, a pretty good explanation. And I don't think we want to accept a theory and not consider evidence against it. But I don't think any of this does any damage to the Christian faith, to us having confidence in the Bible.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Ken Samples, with Reasons to Believe. He's co-author of Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. Go to reasons.org. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join us again on Monday at the same time for another edition of His People.